I think I saw some of you shooing your children away. Like, go, please, go. Sometimes we just need a break. I love them. It's time to go. I don't know if you've ever watched Caesar Milan, the dog whisperer. Oh my word, the guy's amazing. I love it. Chris and I love dogs, and you may know this, but before we had children, we had dogs. And we had dog encyclopedias, we watched dog movies, we read dog books, we went to dog shows. We love dogs. So then Caesar comes on the scene, and he's like, tss, and the dogs do everything that he says. And I'm like, how in the world? What I learned is that chasing them around the yard, swinging your arm at them, will not get them to come to you. You get back here! I'm like, okay. Dogs don't respond to waving your hands frantically and then screaming words at them that they don't understand. Who knew? Caesar did. What was really cool is that if you've seen this, you know, if you've seen his shows, you know this, but he started out dealing with aggressive dogs and quickly became popular because people could bring in their dogs that would bite people or bite the vets or the vet techs. And Caesar could come into the room and deal with the dogs very quickly and have them calm and obedient. He worked at a local vet's office. So word got out. He was in California. A few people of very high repute found out about him and then brought him on the scene. And so now he has his own show. But if you've watched him, what Caesar does with dogs is when he comes up to a really aggressive dog, he does not get worked up. In Ben Munsey language, he just walks up and says, I don't care. Like some of us, when we come into these situations with dogs, we're like, they're growling. Oh no, maybe they'll bite me. Well, the dog's like, I got you now. But Caesar doesn't. He's like, I'm not afraid of you. And what he says to the dogs, if you watch him much, you'll see that what he's telling them is, we're not going to fight. It's not going to happen because I'm in charge and we're not going to fight. It's pretty interesting because he'll walk up to dogs, and in his calm demeanor, dogs that are going crazy, when he walks up and just turns to them a little bit and stands there, the dogs calm down because they realize this guy's in charge and he's not going to fight, so it's pointless to try. We're going to be talking about that tension in our lives because most of us say we don't like it. It's not fun. What we want is peace. We want to go into a situation knowing that everything's going to work out and we won't have to be too stressed about it. But sometimes when we come into these situations that we know this could be hostile, what we do is we get tense and we get all ramped up and amped up and we're like, we're ready to go because we know it's coming. So before that happens, we're ready for a fight. We're responding like the aggressive pit bulls. And if Jesus would have known Caesar at the time, he would have said, don't be like the pit bull, be like Caesar. But Caesar wasn't alive when Jesus was alive, so he never said that. What we want to be able to do is take a look at what God tells us to do and approach these situations that are tense and cause us stress and problems so that we can turn them into peaceful situations. The next few weeks we're going to be talking about peace is possible. It's possible to have peace. It's not natural and it doesn't come easily, but it is possible. What comes natural is anger. Anger comes naturally. We're having lunch with, we had lunch last Sunday, and we're eating at our favorite restaurant, and we waited a little bit because there were a lot of us, so we waited. And then our friend found a table for us, and while we're sitting there, he was like, I'm sorry. I'm like, it's okay, it's not a big deal. And I said, in theory, Sunday would be the best day for you. Because he had just said, you know, all of the churches got out late at the same time. And they all just came in at once. I was like, it's all right. He's like, well. I said, well, in theory, Sunday should be your easiest day. If your restaurant is full of church people, it should be your easiest day. And he said, no. He said, actually, church people are the worst. they get angry faster. If they have to wait, they get mad. Well, I had to wait for 5 minutes, so don't expect a good tip from me. Our husbands and wives expect this from us too, unfortunately. We have those little things like, you know, you've asked them 5 times to do it, and it's very clear that either they are ignoring you or they just don't think it's important enough. So rather than ask them to do these things, we've gotten ourselves worked up about it. Well, they didn't do what I wanted, so rather than say something nicely, we've learned asking in coherent English doesn't work, so we flip our sarcasm switch. Well, that didn't work. Let's try this. Well, obviously. So instead of asking, we smart something off to our husband or wife, and we know it's not going to work, but we do it anyway. And then we say, well, you made me do it. I'm angry. And since I'm angry, what do you expect? Exactly. I mean, we know what to expect. Well, if you hadn't have done that, well, because you did this to me, I responded that way. Well, I can't talk to you, so I have to go tell my friend about you. What we learn is that, especially in relationships, the more you respond out of anger, the worse the problem gets. Like the crummier you treat your husband or wife, the crummier your relationship is. Like, we want peace, but when we take our natural response and act on that, we have the exact opposite of what we actually want. But sometimes we give up because we don't think it's possible. We've tried what we know how to do and it doesn't work, so all you get is sarcasm. Obviously, you're not listening, so if you're not listening, it doesn't matter if I say this to you anyway, because you're not going to hear me. Just like your mother. If I wanted to marry your mom, I would have asked her. You know, we don't say those things to these people, but we think them. You better not ever tell your wife that. You're just like your dad. Well, I love you too. Like, those things hurt. And we don't want hurt, we want peace, but we don't know how to get it, so we do what comes naturally. We jab, we stick them. Because then we feel better for like 2 seconds, and then we realize that didn't do a thing. Or if you spend any time on your computer, I pick on computers a lot. People embarrass themselves a great deal on their computers. Just to let you know, sometimes it's you. That was passive aggressive, wasn't it? I don't know who it is. I have this policy that I try not to say anything too stupid on the computer, because I realize 5 minutes after I say it, do you know how many things I delete? Like, I type them out. Somebody needs to tell them. And then I read that and I'm like, won't do any good. They're not listening anyway. But I'm angry. You sit over there in your little computer and you hide and you say all this stupid stuff and nobody's going to tell you, so I'm going to tell you. Like, they won't listen to you either. But what's easier to do is to get on our little, I don't have Twitter, Facebook. I can't believe it's 10 degrees outside. I hate this weather. I can't wait for summer. I can be angry about the weather, right? I'm angry that it's so freezing cold outside. Can't wait for summer. And you all know what happens when summer's here and it's 90 degrees. They're angry about the 90 degrees. I just can't believe it. I'm about to die of heat stroke. I wish it was colder. I can't wait for winter. Like, no matter what happens, some people have trained their brains so all they act on is their anger. And what people become known for is their anger. Like, we call it other things. Well, you know, that's just the way they are. Or they're just, you know, they're a little crabby. Or you got to deal. Really, they're just angry. They have trained themselves to respond in anger because it comes so easily. Like, I've got all kinds of stuff to say to all kinds of people. Somebody needs to tell them. But will it do any good? The problem with being angry all the time is that it actually shortens your life. You may know this, you may not. If you don't know it, let me tell you. Being angry all the time can kill you. more quickly than God wants you to die. Like, we're all going to die at some point. But if you're angry a lot, it actually can lead to coronary heart disease. Woohoo! Who wants that? Sign me up. If you're angry all the time, your muscles are tense all the time, your blood pressure's up all the time, hypertension. Being angry a lot can actually lead to type 2 diabetes. Who knew that one? We think that being angry is the only option because we don't know what else to do. But sometimes we get a glimmer of hope, like we come to church or we see on Facebook, well, they're going to talk about peace, so maybe I can come and learn something. If we're going to hear it from God, maybe God has a magic wand and God can ding me with his magic wand like my fairy godmother. And I'm standing here in rags, but in a matter of seconds, God can touch me and I'll turn into this beautiful, gentle, peaceful, loving person. And if that's why you came, it's not going to happen. It doesn't happen that way. But God does give us a plan. He said, here's how you can have peace. We're going to look at that. I'm in Philippians chapter 4. There are two sections to what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. But we're going to start in Philippians chapter 4. If you have one of those papers, it's written on the top. It's going to be on the screen here. But Paul, who you would think would be stressed because people keep trying to kill him all the time and he's been beaten to death, like three or four times almost. They leave him for dead and he's been in prison and been shipwrecked a few times. You would think this guy would be a little tense because he almost dies a lot. He's writing this. He's like, no. So here's Paul's prescription for having peace in your life. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. I don't like that. Let's try something else. I don't feel like rejoicing today. Okay, how about this? Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. I don't feel very gentle. Be anxious about nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I don't like the first few screens, but I like this last one because it says God's going to give me peace. I don't feel like rejoicing, and I am not a very gentle person. But can you just wave your magic wand and give me peace? No. But God says it's possible. It's possible to have peace. Today we're going to look at the first section here, rejoice and be gentle. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us your word and the hope that's there, even when it's a little confusing, or we don't really want to act on it. I thank you that it's there and that you give us opportunity. Help us this morning to know what you want us to know so that you can help us become like Christ. It's in Jesus' name that we ask. Amen. So as we said a little bit ago, our instinctual response is to be angry. What anger is a response to some situation. So either somebody's been dumb, or they've been intentionally harmful, or they've just been negligent, and they have hurt us. So we get tensed up, and we start our defense mode. And that desire to protect myself and to stop the hurt from happening again, we call that a lot of times anger. Like, oh no, they hurt me and it's not going to happen again. I'm on the lookout against that person. Like, oh, touch me one more time. We call that a lot of times anger. So I feel angry because somebody's done something to me. There's another word that also starts with an A. It's called aggression. That's when we actually act out against someone and we throw things at them or we scream mean things at them or we just stand there and look at them because we know it really irks them off when we just smirk. that's still aggression. There are two things that happen. We have this, we feel the pain, and this emotion comes up, and a lot of times we call that anger. The other thing is the aggression, what we do with it. And I want to separate those two because they do not have to go together. People may hurt us, but we do not have to become aggressive. And that's easier said than done, because some of us have trained ourselves to be aggressive. I was reading, obviously preparing for this, and came across an article in Psychology Today. And the editor of that publication said, sudden bursts of anger or prolonged anger are bad for you. Can you believe that? A strong emotion that is accompanied by arousal of the nervous system. Like, we can tell sometimes when somebody gets mad, you get nervous. I should finish the quote. It's an arousal of the nervous system. Anger produces effects throughout the body. It eats away at your cardiovascular system, your gut, like sometimes you get nauseous, hijacks your nervous system, often obliterating the capacity for clear thinking. Like, no joke, when they get mad, they don't even think. And it may even grow in intensity. Like, the more angry you are, the more often you're angry, the angrier you will be. Like, we have some, I have some friends in Columbus that it was always fun to watch them get angry, because I knew when it got serious, because there were some sisters. They would reach up and the first thing would happen, they'd yank their earrings out, because you don't want to tear your ears when you're getting, you know they're getting ready to go. When they reach up and pull their earrings off, like, you just crossed the line. Everybody back up. I'm not even joking. My little Puerto Rican friends. When the earrings come off, things are about to happen. It's about to get real. Some of us, we can still look at our ears like, I know he's mad because his ears are red. And when he gets mad, his ears turn red. So then we poke a little bit more. Like, our body gives us clues. I used to bite my fingernails when I would get nervous or upset, or like, I would come in, and if I'm chewing on, Carissa would say, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing's wrong. Like, you're biting your fingernails. Oh. I have these clues. Bob asked me on Friday. I was over visiting with him, and I didn't even know I was doing it. But he looks at me and says, are you nervous? And I said, no. And then I realized, yeah, I am. So I was like, yes, I am nervous, actually. Like, we have clues. Our body does, it responds to this tension we feel. And if we have that a lot, it's hard on us. Like, you all know this, so I'm not telling you anything. I'm just trying to let you know this is something that's beyond just, well, that's just the way I am. It really affects your entire life. Well, that's great. What are we going to do about it? Well, the Bible says we should be gentle. Thanks, I'll get right on that. If I would have known it was so easy, I would have just done it 10 years ago. Okay, rather than be mad, I'm sorry, can you please tell me why you're angry with me? Like, it doesn't work that way. Of course I know I should be gentle, but I'm mad because you hurt me. We think that if we back off a little bit, somebody's coming at us, maybe physically or verbally, and if we back off, we think, well, that's backing down. Here's the first thing you may want to know, is that gentleness is not the same as weakness. Being gentle does not mean you're weak. Actually, being gentle means you have options. I have the ability to respond at a much higher level, but because that won't give me the results that we need, I'm going to restrain my power and I'm going to act a different way, so that we can get the results we want. Being gentle does not mean you're being weak. It means you're thinking. When I respond gently, I'm thinking. Our greatest example of gentleness, we look at Jesus and say, how did he respond? He had people who were mean to him all the time. What did he do? Well, there were some people who did not want things to get better. They actually wanted things to get worse. And we see how Jesus responded to them, the religious snobs who went around insulting everyone and hurting everybody all the time. In today's language, he would have said, back up, nobody's listening to you anyway. Sometimes he jabbed at them. He actually called them a brood of vipers one time, which is not a nice thing to say. But for the people who he cared about everybody, but for the people who, and he was in these interactions and he thought, what you're doing right now is hurting you and there's something better. Jesus didn't come up to the woman. He met a woman at the well one time. She'd been married 5 times and was living with somebody else. Obviously, she's living in sin. And he's like, oh, thanks. You mean I'm going to die for you? How many men's are going to take to make you happy? He didn't do that to her. He said, there's a way to have that satisfaction in life that you're trying to get. It's with me. He was gentle with her. He told some other people in Matthew chapter 11, he said, if you are weary and you're tired and you're carrying so much stuff that you don't know how to, he said, why don't you take my yoke on you? Now, yoke is something that you connect two animals together with, like ox. You put two oxes together. One of them may be doing the job by itself, and the job is so difficult that it's straining and it just can't. So you'd bring another animal in and you would yoke the two together. And that one job that was very difficult now becomes much easier because someone is alongside you helping you. And Jesus is talking to these people who he knows is going to have him killed. Not long, they're going to be screaming, crucify him. He knows this. But right now, he's looking at these people and saying, I love you. I want to help you. Why don't you let me help? He responds peacefully. I'm here to help. It's not a defensive approach, which is what comes natural to us. So Paul says in this section of the Bible that we should be gentle. Let our gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. What we need to do to have that, to make that happen, is to change our attitude from being defensive . Well, they're gonna hurt me. They might. You might get hurt. Well, if people are gonna hurt me, then I need to defend myself against them so I don't get hurt. Avoiding pain is not the goal of life. I mean, we in America, we have that goal because we think our own personal comfort is the pinnacle of life. And Jesus said, well, you really, that's not the goal. While you are living, you will have trouble. So trying to avoid every ounce of pain and suffering is not the goal. Rather than being defensive, we need to take the mindset of serving. I'm here. I need to help. If you're with your wife or your husband, this is how Carissa and I approached it when I was a big fat loser jerk and was mean to her, said things that I knew would just set her off just because I knew, and I didn't have any better comeback because she was right and I was wrong, but I wanted to jab her anyway. I knew what to say. But when I decided, it was a decision, it wasn't an accident. I did not accidentally become a loving husband. There was a decision when I said, the person that I am is not who I want to be. I do not want to be driven by anger. So when she said what she said, you may know this, but I walked over to her and hugged her. And I did not want to. But I knew that if I hugged her, it would change my response. Because it's really hard to hug somebody or hold their hands and be mean to them. Unless you're being a sarcastic little punk, and that's not nice anyway. It's hard for me to embrace her and hurt her. I knew the goal was to help, so I embraced her. That's what we did. That was my approach, and it worked. And I still use that when I feel like, oh my word. I say, all right, how can I say this so that she will know I love her? And usually in our families, that's where most of our stress comes from. We can blow people off at work, like, whatever, you're a jerk, and go on with our day. But when it's in our own, like these people around us, they're the ones that cause our blood pressure to go up all the time. It's the people close to us that we continue to deal with. Well, this is just who I am, and you're just going to have to deal with me this way. What you're saying is, I am going to continue to be an angry person, and there's nothing you can do about it, and I want coronary heart disease. Please, give me type 2 diabetes. Make me hypertension. That doesn't make sense. Give me hypertension. And Paul says, your gentleness is what people should know you for. So then we have a decision. What am I going to do about this? I'm motivated by my anger. It would be nice to have peace, but to have that, I have to be gentle. Well, that's a good question. Solomon, who was the wisest king that ever lived, had a one-sentence answer. A gentle word turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Sometimes you just need to shut your mouth. Say something gently. I want to be a gentle person. I don't like this tension that we have all the time. I don't like being motivated or responding out of anger all the time. What do I do? Well, I came up with this handy dandy little acrostic. We need to act. Fantastic. Good job, Ben. Thanks. Actually, I will give no joke, completely serious. I have given God credit for this because I'm like, wow, yes. It's not because I'm brilliant. It's because when you pray and ask God for wisdom, He gives it to you. We're going to see that at the end of this. But what we can do is act. How can we remember this? Act. The first thing you need to do when you're angry is admit it. Don't pretend I'm not mad. Like, forget, whatever. Everybody else, your ears are red. I know you're mad. You've bitten all your fingernails off. You know you're mad. When you first get angry, admit that you're mad. Okay? You have to acknowledge the fact that you're mad. Don't try to avoid it. That doesn't mean you need to go announce to the whole world, I'm angry. It just means you need to recognize the state of mind I'm in right now, I'm angry. The second thing we need to do is to actually, is to call it what it is. Anger is a response to being hurt. But anger points at something else. Like if I'm mad at you, it's because you've done something to me. If I'm mad at myself, it's because I'm disappointed in myself. The culprit is disappointment. The culprit in relationships is a broken trust. So when I'm angry, why am I angry? Call it what it is. I'm mad because I said I would never do that again, and I just went and did it. So I'll beat myself up for a while, and then I'll take it out on other people around me. But I need to call it what it is. It's really disappointment. It's really broken trust. It's really pain, recurring pain in this. What this smart psychologist editor lady said. Says studies show that the ability to identify and label emotions correctly and talk about them straightforwardly to the point of feeling understood, this makes those negative feelings dissipate. It causes those emotions to begin to diminish. Call it what it is. First, I admit that I'm angry. Second, I call it what it is. And the third thing that we need to do is think about the goal, not the moment. Some of us do need to have a little more time before we respond. We need to spend some time thinking. Like when your kids get mad and they're fighting with each other, what do? Send them to their room. And some of us as adults are like, can you please send me to my room and tell me not to come out until I have a better attitude? Please. I've got like 3 more shows on Netflix I need to catch up on anyway. Somebody send me to my room. But that doesn't happen because we're supposed to be responsible for ourselves. unless you have a really good friend or a good spouse who says, you need to go to your room. And they're like, okay. Like, we need to take some time and think about the goal. I actually have a practice I've developed. I try it, and I've been doing this for years. If I know something may be ready to happen, I rehearse my responses, my gentle responses. What a lot of us do is we rehearse our angry responses. Oh, I cannot wait till they better not. If they come over here one more time, I'm going to tell them. Like, we rehearse our anger, and all that does is build anger up. Rather than rehearsing anger, we can rehearse gentleness. How can I respond so that I give them an opportunity to change their behavior? We know that we cannot make anyone do anything. But I also know that I can present myself so that I'm not a cause or a promoter of their current situation. If I am rehearsing these responses, and just because I love Jesus now with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, doesn't mean I don't still need to rehearse my responses. I promise. I have opportunities to rehearse my responses because I care about people more than I care about retaliating. I need to admit when I'm angry. I need to call it what it is. And I need to think about the goal, the long-term goal, not the make myself feel better right now and then deal with the fallout later. I need to act. At the beginning of this, Paul says, he begins with, rejoice. Like, I don't want to rejoice. Frankly, when I'm upset, I do not feel like rejoicing. Here's what we can glean from what Paul is saying. When you have your confidence and your hope in the right place, you won't become so stressed out by all of these things that happen. If you think you're the one that has to defend yourself all the time, you will be stressed and you will be angry. But if you realize that in every situation, God has provided His Spirit to give you peace and guidance, you realize, I don't have to defend myself all the time. God is with me. He will work these things out. And that takes a lot of pressure off of me. I'm not alone. James chapter 1, verse 5 says this, and this is where we're going to end. This is what we want to leave with. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. This is the best place to start. Is first I need to say, yes, this is an issue I need to deal with. I want peace, but I am not headed in that direction. The first thing I need to do is say, God, I need your wisdom in my life. And James, he's the half-brother of Jesus, kind of knew the guy pretty well, said, he'll give it to you. Ask Jesus. And then, after we have brought this to God, we have personal responsibility for our own lives. He can give you the instructions, but you must do something with it. And what I've just told you, that little act, acrostic, that isn't the end-all, be-all of finding peace, but it's a start. When God gives us wisdom, we need to do something with it. So if you're someone who said, I want things to be different, we're going to close in prayer. And I would like you to begin by asking God to start making a difference in the way you think. Help you think clearly so you can respond in gentleness. And you can become a person that is known by your gentleness. It's possible. But you have to begin with God. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your wisdom that you've given us. Thank you for reminding me personally what you expect from me. And thank you for not giving up on us. Help us to remember what you want us to know out of today, even if it's something a little different. Help us to find the answers that you want us to have so that we can be known for our gentleness. People will have an understanding of who you are when they see us. That's our goal, is that in everything we do, you are respected and honored. Help us to become more like Christ so people will know you. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask. Amen. Hope you have a great afternoon, and I will see you here at